Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox. Dan Buck with us. Another hour here. Dan, this has been fun. I don't think we've ever worked together, so this has been a real fun treat for me.
I have listened to you many times, even some of your great overnight fill-ins on Coast to Coast for Mr. Norrie. That's
coast
a fun gig.
Coast to Coast.
Yes.
I know. And are you working Monday morning by any chance with us?
I will be here Monday morning, yes.
So I'm doing Coast to Coast this weekend. So I'll do Friday night, I'll do Saturday night, and I'm going to do Sunday night. So Coast to Coast ends at 4 a.m., and then we'll start the show here, Mark Cox Morning Show, at 5 a.m.
Wow, you are a glutton for punishment, brother. Man.
I know.
Man.
But I'll tell you that when they ask me, hey, can you do these dates, it's an automatic yes. I'm not going to say no to Coast to Coast. And I love doing it. And it's a fun, easy show to do. And luckily, I can do it from my basement. So it makes it as easy as possible.
And you absolutely get some of the most interesting callers on that show on the planet. I think truck drivers all over America, thank you guys for keeping them awake and humored by some of the people who witness everything in the world. They have great ghost stories. They've got UFO stories. If you've never heard Coast to Coast and you're into that kind of stuff, man, you've got to tune in. It's a fun show.
You know, and not to get too insider baseball, So I don't even know who the guests are for this weekend yet. So I know Friday night who we have, but Saturday night, Sunday night, they have not released the schedule yet. So I don't know who I'll be talking to on that Sunday night into Monday morning that I think some of these listeners may be hearing before the Mark Cox Morning Show starts. So I guess we'll have to
Surely you can find a good palm reader or somebody who can see the future or somebody who's encountered a UFO in the recent weeks. Yeah.
Oh, there is no problem finding guests on the nationally syndicated show like that. It's like 650 affiliates across. It's just, and of course, satellite radio. It is all over the place. And George Norrie grew that show over the past 20 years. It went, I want to say it was half that when he took over the show, but he has continued to grow Coast to Coast AM, and he's done a fantastic job with
George used to be with KTRS Radio when I was there, and he was just really making that show popular, not only in St. Louis, but he had probably about 100 stations at that time, and he hosted it out of KTRS for some time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to George about it, and originally the host was a man by the name of Art Bell. He's the one that made it popular. Art Bell was one of the biggest talk show hosts in the country at the time.
Yep.
Kind of filled the void of when Larry King left radio and there wasn't a lot at the late night. Art Bell walks in and just dominates. And he was one of the big stars in syndicated radio there for a long time. And George told me that back before he became the main host and Art was in kind of retirement mode, George would sit at the radio microphone and would not know if he's doing a show that night. So he would have his headphones on. He would hear the bumper music start playing. And if Art Bell came on and started talking, he knew he was off. If Art was not going to be on, he knew that he would hear no voice. And then the producer would say, George, I guess it's you tonight. And that's how he found out if he was filling in.
Wow. That's crazy. And just wing it. And literally wing it for 4 hours.
And he was ready to go every night. And I thought the dedication of George Norrie, it's just so amazing to me.
Yeah.
So I'll be doing Coast to Coast this weekend. And I know there's some listeners here that may enjoy hearing that because it's on this radio station.
Yeah,
as well.
Those with insomnia will be with you. And those who have to work overnight. Tons of truck drivers, I'm sure, are your audience as well. Yeah.
Well, let's do the short list.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
When you look at the conduct that has taken place by Jimmy Kimmel, it appears to be some of the sickest conduct possible.
And that was the FCC Chair Carr discussing perhaps maybe the line has been crossed. And I think they're taking the Charlie Kirk assassination very seriously. I know people have their opinions and they're allowed to express these opinions. But he's looking at it and he's taking it saying, okay, some people take it a step further. And Jimmy Kimmel became right into the middle of that conversation. And now Jimmy Kimmel's show is on indefinite leave on ABC.
And I don't know if it's as much an FCC violation. I mean, I think you are entitled to express your opinion. But I think the fallout here is the complete distaste that he used and of a known lie. He had to have known by the time that show aired that this guy was not a right-wing MAGA person, and yet he went ahead and spewed that lie, because this was well after the email string that revealed his motives and his anger towards his LGBTQ and his gay lover and all of that. I say gay. Is it still gay if you're dating a trans guy? I don't know. I don't know what the actual term should be. Or pronouns, any of that stuff. The point being is that I think he just had horrible distaste, and you don't make an assassination part of your comedy routine. It's not funny, right? And I think that's why ABC took the action. I don't think the FCC needs to do anything. Let ABC monitor their own people on what's tasteful and what's not.
You've seen this across the board. You saw this with Jimmy Kimmel. You've seen this with a number of prominent media figures engaging in this narrative that this is somehow a Romeo and Juliet style story rather than a situation of factual nature.
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet was Katie Pavlik on Fox discussing how the mainstream media is really becoming more and more deprived. And I think there is something to that. And something you said, Dan, I think we're going to have to discuss a little bit further after the clips here on the shortlist.
There wasn't widespread support at all for a 50 basis point cut today. You know, I think we've done very large rate hikes and very large rate cuts in the last 5 years, and you tend to do those at a time when you feel that policy is out of place and needs to move quickly to a new place.
But with Jerome Powell there talking about it, and he said we've had big cuts and big drops or big rise in the interest rate. Now, by the way, your job is to try to stabilize things. And if you are doing big cuts or big interest rate hikes, that means you're not doing your job properly. That's very simple. You got to be able to adjust it and be able to measure where the economy is in order to make sure we get these soft landings. However, but the big jumps and the big cuts mean you are asleep at the wheel. And that's exactly what you've been accused of.
Right. And you know, he also in that same statement went on to say that there would probably only be three cuts, even though a lot of people on the market side and a lot of researchers were saying there would probably be 4 to 5 cuts. Why would he come out and say there's only going to be three? Because he have a crystal ball of what the economic indicators are going to be? Because that's what you should be basing your cuts on, is whether or not the economy needs it. Well, you don't know what the economy is going to be in December, right? How can he say that that's going to be only three cuts coming up in the next 6 months and that's where it's going to end? I mean, that's just, to me, a clear indication that he's doing everything he can to slow down the Trump economy and the Trump impact on the economy. Is he doesn't want those interest rates to drop because he knows what? It's going to stimulate economic growth. And it's going to get everybody who's sitting in cash and is waiting on better margins or better interest rates so that they can do capital investments, including all of the infrastructure we need around manufacturing. That's going to begin to explode if we can get these interest rates down so people can borrow and still make their business model work. But he's in no hurry to help this economy out.
Yep. Well, I know we're running out of time. We have Shannon Bream coming up after the break. Can I mention one thing real quick? So we might have to say this for the end of the show. But going back into the FCC, and it's not really the FCC's place when it comes to perhaps free speech on the public broad, the public when it comes to the public in general. Thank you, Ethan. Let me say this. So in general, when we talk about free speech, the big example they use is you can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. So this is the argument I think the FCC may be trying to make, and I think this is a valid argument. So let's say you yell fire outside of a movie theater over and over and over and over again, and someone goes in and burns the theater down and kills everyone inside. So now they're saying, okay, because we had an event where people died in what you incited caused this person to go light the theater on fire, then maybe we're going to look at the people that are inciting to light the theater on fire. So you might not be yelling fire inside of a movie theater, but you're encouraging someone to go light the fire inside of a movie theater. That's incitement. And I think that's what they're trying to figure out in a Charlie Kirk post assassination world, is if that type of language is inciting what we're seeing today that has been enacted in real life.
Yeah, it's a fine line, isn't it, between First Amendment rights and the ability of people to express themselves without inciting or causing chaos within the communities. And I just don't know if what, certainly not what Kimmel said, I don't think is inflammatory. I think it was just in horrible taste. It was in, and it was a factual lie. He knew that that was not the case, that the gunman was a MAGA supporter. So I think it's more ABC's role to say, hey, we're not going to have that disrespect for a man, a father, and a husband who was gunned down in cold blood in front of thousands of people. We don't find that to be jokeable. We don't believe that should be in a monologue. That's where I think we're at as a society. And I think that's good. I think accountability to what you say, but we got to be careful not to thwart people's ability to express themselves.
Yep. You're 100% right. Shannon Bream, Fox News Sunday, calls in. We'll bring her on after the break on the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get up, baby! Get up!
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday.
She is. Shannon, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
You.
So it's one of those interesting broadcast moments, and I hate to get too insider baseball on this, but you do Fox News Sunday, and also happening on Sunday is the Charlie Kirk funeral. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are going to be watching that. How does that influence your programming decisions on a day like that, when there's a big breaking giant story going on at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, we're obviously going to program to that end, to be talking about still all the unanswered questions and what's going on in the investigation, and really looking to what Charlie has created, what sparked, what's moving forward with Turning Point and where that goes. I mean, there are very few scenarios in which you can imagine a young man like that having a memorial service that draws the president, the vice president, you know, leaders from all over different industries and politics to come speak. But I think for people who weren't as familiar with Charlie and are now learning about him in the last week, they're really kind of amazed at the reach of this guy who accomplished so much in just such a young life.
Shannon, you're a great legal mind. I'd love to get your take on the FCC's role in trying to dial back some of the temperature and the dialogue and some of the hateful speech that comes out of, at times, both sides. Is there a role for the FCC, for broadcasters, do you think, to try to lower that temperature and try to make stations be a little more accountable to what they're saying? I mean, Jimmy Kimmel being the most recent example. But, you know, is there a fine line between free speech and being tasteless, you know, or being, you know,
right,
bad judgment? It's a tough call, isn't it?
It is a very tough question. You bring up so many good points, and there's a lot of backlash from people who say, if we're going to be about free speech, you can't use the government as a heavy hand on speech that you don't like.
Right.
Now, what the FCC is saying is that they have an interest in making sure that broadcast licenses, that networks are reaching a broad, diversified audience. And the argument I'm hearing this morning, you know, is saying Kimmel and others have tailored to a very narrow audience. And so the FCC argument is like, well, you're not serving the community or the broader community or the broader national conversation. So I'll be really interested to see how this plays out, because there are plenty of people on the right who are very much, you know, free speech advocates and have been for decades. And I think anytime there is something as tragic and heinous as, you know, a public assassination, you know, we may have to watch where the pendulum swings. And I think things will settle eventually where they are. But, you know, if you start fighting these things in the courts, the Supreme Court is very, very supportive of unpopular speech under the First Amendment. I think mm-hmm. about the Westboro Baptist Church, where, you know, they won a case 8-1. So, you know, it's not comfortable speech that needs to be protected. It's uncomfortable speech that needs to be protected.
I think, too.
Go ahead.
Yeah, with like the community standards that we run into and a lot of local broadcasters and radio, there's certain words that would get you a fine mm-hmm. and there's certain words that wouldn't get you a fine, but the station would not allow you to use that type of language. So when you talk about these individual companies, these TV companies that own these ABC affiliates in local markets saying we're not going to air this, it's because it clashes with their own community mm-hmm. standards. Maybe a wake-up call for some of these networks to realize the people that they're broadcasting to is a lot broader than what they think it is, and maybe what they are mm-hmm. saying needs to be taken into better consideration.
Yeah, I think you make a great point, because when you look at what some of these statements have been from some of these folks that would carry his show, it is saying we got to serve our local communities. I mean, that's our interest as a station group or what we do. I mean, we're thinking about the people who live there, who work there, what their ideology is and what they want to hear. And again, I think it gets back to that FCC argument. Are you not serving the broader community? Because, listen, station groups have to think about, they're going to have a different, you know, audience in Birmingham, Alabama than they are in New York City. And that's in their purview to decide what serves their customers.
You know, I think it was 2012, maybe even 2014, when Obama rolled back the Smith-Mundt Act a bit and kind of loosened the reins on and accountability to news outlets saying the truth. Do you think there's any chance that would get revisited and to start holding news organizations to being more truthful and honest in their reporting?
Well, and I think you guys probably see this every day, as I do as somebody in the business, is that you can't even get people to agree on what the truth is. I mean, that's the troubling, difficult thing, is that we in the news business want to be about providing you facts. That's our commitment. We have a huge responsibility with what we do. But when you have people out there who will say, my truth, your truth, it makes it really difficult, because then who polices that? Who decides whether news stations are reporting things in a quote unquote truthful manner? I mean, it's just become such a really difficult conversation to have over the last few decades. And really in more recent years, where people will say, you know, I'm old school. Let's stick to the who, where, when, what, why, you know, the facts of a situation. Yeah. But so many people that are so-called journalists have bled over into advocacy. And I think if you're going to do that, that's fine. Identify yourself as an opinion columnist or opinion commentator. But you can't, you know, bleed into advocacy if you're going to stay true to journalism.
Yep. Right. Well, Shannon, I think you're going to have a lot of new viewers this weekend, people that are going to be introduced to Fox News Sunday because of what is going on. Thank you so much, Shannon Bream, for joining us, and best of luck this weekend.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
Love that. I love that. Griff Jenkins, how are you this morning, sir? You're the like top of the hour news guy now. Everybody,
yeah.
You were just on for like 20 minutes. They did a whole tribute to you and your new gig at Fox starting this weekend.
Yeah, Ryan and Dan, good morning. And listen, how brutal was it that they dug up this clip of me in 2008? The story behind that, by the way, was Greg Kelly, who was a permanent host on the weekend or whatever, had an emergency at like 10 o'clock on a Friday night. And I was going to be the reporter for the show that day anyway. And they're like, hey, so I know you don't know anything about anchoring, but... And I'm like, what the heck? But, you know, it really is full circle, because the first – we didn't play clip, but the very first reporter hit I did on Fox News was a sitting judge in D.C. sued his dry cleaner for $54 million for losing a pair of his pants. And I had been doing it for radio. I started – my first job at Fox was – producer of the Tony Snow radio show.
Wow.
I was a radio guy. And when Tony went to the White House to be the press secretary, I'm like, oh, snap, I got to be busy. So as you know, us radio guys, and I'm first and foremost a radio guy at heart, I was just trying to stay busy. I'm like, well, maybe the bosses won't fire me if I'm like going out gathering news and doing whatnot. And so one morning, Fox and Friends saw I was covering the pants judge, and they're like, could you do TV? And having no actual job that I was doing, I was just sort of like looking busy. I'm like, sure, let's do that. What the heck? And I accosted the judge with a pair of pink pants and demanded an answer, a verdict on my pants, because he wouldn't talk to the media, which is what made it such a great story. And he read me the riot act. And then and there, my TV career was born. But the fact that the first radio hit I ever did and the first hosting I ever did was with Fox, it really is a very special thing for me. It's full circle. And I walk through, you know, our newsroom and see these young producers. I'm like, listen, when you see me, you see yourself. Like, this is the kind of place Fox is.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, you work so hard at it, Griff. And we play that intro, Where in the World is Griff Jenkins? It's because, honestly, you have been to so many different places, covered so many different stories. You have such a huge resume and the amount of important stories you've covered. This is going to be a fantastic fit with Fox and Friends Weekend. One, a big congratulations to you. How does this change your life now that you get the Fox and Friends Weekend?
Bizarrely enough, it makes it even simpler. I'll commute back and forth because my bosses in D.C. are like, we're not going to lose you as a reporter entirely. I'm like, no, you got it, boss. I'll be available for reporting. But it does make life easier because I did fill in on a lot of different things, and a lot of those things were last minute things. And so at least now I know, okay, plan is be in New York this weekend, and then I'm wherever the heck I am during the middle of the week. And so I'm very excited for it. And you know, they kind of announced it to some press last Wednesday, and then of course, tragically, just hours later, Charlie Kirk lost his life. And a story that is continuing to resonate. And you know, as I sat on that couch today, I just thought, there are no coincidences in life. God has a plan. And it was just weeks ago that Charlie Kirk was sitting on that very couch in that very spot. And so I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to try and use the God-given talents and gifts to maybe bring something to that, too. I know we'll talk about it this weekend.
You know, Griff, our producer and the guy who runs the show, really, Ethan and I were talking during one of the breaks. And I said, of all the people on our show and on major network news, I would rather have a beer with Griff Jenkins than anybody else. And he totally agreed with me. I think your sincere realness is going to come through on that show. And Charlie and Rachel, both also pretty real individuals. I think you guys are just going to continue to dominate the numbers as you have for years. I know Hegseth, those are some big shoes to fill, but
yeah. Listen, your words are so kind and they mean the world to me, honestly. And take it as a guy at 54 that the only thing my wife will tell you I won't give up is 3 or 4 Stellas every night. So if I get a chance to come out to St. Louis, we will have that beer, because there's few things I'd love more at the end of the day than to have a beer. And I work out a whole lot and try and, you know, keep it so I can keep drinking those beers. But the comments, you know, to be real, I mean, listen, this audience has not only this one I've been doing for years, but with Fox, you know, the viewers watch me kind of grow up. And so yeah, I am who you see on the air, and that's what you get. And I don't suspect I'll be changing anytime soon. And I'm really quite just ecstatic. It's with Charlie and Rachel, because I pointed out on the air this morning, I was friends with these guys before there was even the weekend show. And so, you know, I feel very much at home. As I said, home is where the heart is. And my heart's always been with Fox and Friends. And now I get to officially do it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one day it will come full circle. The more your star power rises, a young reporter is going to come ask you about your pants, and you'll realize it's come full circle.
That's right. That's right. It will indeed. I look forward to that day. But honestly, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, hard work does pay off. Yep. And I never, you know, was doing it because I thought I was going to be this anchor. I just leaned into every day. My dad had a great saying back in the day, and I think he got it from some sort of inspiration poster. But he was like, listen, when I would be down and I'd be exhausted, or I was in Iraq, you know, embedded in the invasion, or in Afghanistan or in Ukraine, you're tired, you're exhausted, you got no more to give. Always remember, you didn't roll out of bed to be mediocre today.
Amen.
So roll out of that damn bed and do the best you can. And so, you know, that's the message of my story. I did work very hard for it, and now I don't take lightly the opportunity I've been given to not let you guys and every one of our viewers down.
Your first weekend's going to be a tough one, I know, with Charlie's funeral on Sunday, and you guys, I'm sure, are going to be covering that enormous event at the stadium. I'm sure it's going to be a tough one for you guys to get through. You were friends, I know, with him, as many people there at Fox were. How do you make that, your realness, I'm sure, will come through, but how do you make that moment be as meaningful as it will be for the millions that'll be watching?
Well, and you know, you put your finger on it. I mean, the whole country is still trying to grapple with and process what they've seen and what has happened. And it is a watershed moment in every way in the country, with a country that's very divided and confined with very little effort, the vitriol that exists on social media, something we didn't have when Kennedy was shot, and the country took years to try and deal with that. But at the end of the day, you know, to your question, the answer is, you're going to get through it by remembering how Charlie lived his life, not how he died.
Right.
And how he lived his life is really a remarkable, unique story, a generational talent. And I think that, you know, we're going to lean into that. And with Charlie, you know, it's going to take a long time to put into context exactly what it means. But one thing is for sure, when his widow, Erica, who no one would have blamed for shutting the door, turning out the lights, and collapse in the tremendous grief she's going to be dealing with for years, instead, she gave a speech. Her comments were among the most profound I've heard in a long time, a story of defiance, gratitude. And, you know, if you thought that movement's going to die, it's definitely not. In fact, I was doing Brian Kilmeade's show on Monday. They asked me at the last minute to host it, and they said, anybody you want to get? I said, get my friend Andrew Colvett, who is the producer, because I was a radio producer for Ollie North first, then Tony Snow, and nobody can speak better. And, you know, here we were doing the Kilmeade show in D.C. out of the Tony Snow honorary radio studio, and I saw a lot of similarities between Tony and Charlie to a fault, to a degree of a fault. Both saw the best in people, not the worst. And Andrew talked about, while the, you know, social media clips the 5% of Charlie which would engage when pushed, but 90% of his engagements were kind and just genuine and sincere, to try and find a way to debate. And he ultimately wanted to convince people of his persuasion and his way of seeing things. And Tony was a lot like that. And I think that's what's got to come out of this. The country's got to find a way to find the better parts of our hearts and get back to hope being possible and disagreeing without violence.
Yeah.
Griff. Well, Griff, I tell you, there's a lot of people here in St. Louis. We all love you. We're all so proud and happy, and we can't wait to see you on Fox and Friends this weekend, Griff Jenkins.
Thank you, guys. You're very kind. Your words mean the world to me. And to all of our great listeners on 97.1, thank you. Stick with me. I won't let you down. And one of these days, I'm getting to St. Louis for that beer.
Yeah, that's right. I'm buying. Totally buying. That's Griff Jenkins, the new co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. We'll all be tuned in this weekend for the Charlie Memorial. And best of luck to you in the new role, friend. That's great.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Have a great one.
You too. Man, what a good
Dan, team. You nailed it, by the way. Griff is the guy you want to sit down with.
He's yeah, so I mean, awesome. Of all, I mean, just he's so real, right? I mean, he's just like talking to your best friend, you know, and he just is in many ways what he was just talking about, Charlie and Snow. Both of those guys were known for their genuineness and their true compassion for others. I get the same feel with Griff Jenkins, yeah. Right? I mean, he just not a mean bone in his body, just a kind heart and a kind soul. He's going to fit really well, too, because I think, you know, the co-hosts that he has on there are both the same kind of thing. Charlie Hurt and Rachel Campos Duffy are both just wonderful people as well. It'll be a real show, right. That's for sure. You're going to get a lot of emotion right. From them both, from all three of them. It's going to be a dynamic trio for sure.
All right, one more segment of the Mark Cox Morning Show. Don't go anywhere. 97.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One FM Talk. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Oh boy, what a show today.
The home stretch, baby. I can see the finish line 100 yards away. We're in the home stretch.
There's a couple of stories on Fox 2. Neighbors stunned after ATVs take over South City Street.
Yeah, crazy.
I don't know if stunned is the right word because this has been happening a long time. Do they still do the Ride of the Century? Is that what it's called? Where like the ATVs and motorcycles just kind of take over downtown streets? Do you remember that was a thing for a few years?
Yeah, like it was one time a year though, right? And it was kind of a special planned thing. Yeah, this is like an every weekend occurrence down there in the kind of the Southampton area, St. Louis Hills area. And, you know, these are guys flying around on their bikes and their ATVs, and they go in these huge packs and will go wrong way down a one way. They'll do donuts in the middle of an intersection, very loud. They do it late at night. I mean, sometimes they do it in the middle of the broad daylight, too. And cops are doing nothing. They're saying police officers are literally driving past these huge groups, not following them, not breaking them up. They're just kind of letting it go. And there's a lot of folks in that South St. Louis area who are outraged about it. So,
do you think they're told to not engage by their higher ups?
Well, you know, they got the no chase policy, which, you know, they're saying, well, no one's dying, nobody's getting hurt, nobody's, you know, and I'd argue there probably are people getting hurt. The bikers themselves, I'm sure they wreck and have mishaps, but it's more a safety concern for kids playing in the parks down there, people crossing streets. You can't help but hear them coming. I mean, they're loud when they show up in one of these communities, but they're just saying, please give us some enforcement, you know, give us an opportunity to disband them at least and not let them congregate. And I'm talking 70 to 80 bikes is what I'm told.
At
one time. So it's, they must have some type of a way to communicate with one another. We're going to meet here. And we're going to do X, and this is the route we're going to take, and they all show up and make havoc. So I don't know.
Yep.
It'll be interesting whether the police will intervene or whether the mayor will make it a special task force to try to get something done.
Yeah, here's another headline. Washington Ave sinkhole still unfixed after 8 years. So they, there was a hole in the sidewalk that they covered with some wood, some just like panel wooding. It was just nothing all that special. And the massive hole along Washington Avenue, downtown West neighborhood, remains unfixed more than 8 years after it opened. They tried to revisit this in 2021. Still nothing happened. How can city management ignore a hole in the sidewalk in downtown for 8 years?
That's insane.
This plywood.
And yeah. You'd think there'd be liability issues there too, right? I mean, if somebody were to pull the plywood up or the wood planks up and somebody would fall in, I mean, that's just horrific. It's unbelievable that 8 years is not like eight weeks or 8 months. 8 years that hole's existed. That's nuts.
And you're telling me government can't figure out how to fix something like a hole in the sidewalk in a downtown area in the matter of 8 years? I know government moves slow, but this is, I think, really a telling sign of how ineffective St. Louis government actually is.
Well, and have you ever been down to like the convention center parking lots and ever stepped foot in one of their elevators? Why do they always smell like pee? Right? Every single elevator
and
walkway. It's just, can you not fix that? Can you not secure that? Unbelievable. Or clean that? Yeah. Oh, well.
Ugh, so gross.
What a great way to end the show. What a great way to say goodbye.
Well, I'm looking forward to working with you again tomorrow on the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1 FM Talk. We'll see you.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.